Now, he didn't have to. But this was done to help them to be able to see. And probably they had questions themselves. Why does or why is God doing things this way? Why isn't it this way? And so it's all about displaying the wisdom, the power, the might of God. It is He who created us. And we are to depend upon Him, His guidance that He gives us so that we might live a life that is pleasing to Him. And so the apostle expresses this to the brethren at Corinth. And then he says in verse 29, so that no man may boast before God, but by His doing, now notice, by His doing, that is God, you are in Christ Jesus. God made it possible through Christ Jesus for you to be in Him or have a relationship with Him, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And then he says, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And as Brother Stan mentioned in some translation, it has the word glory. This evening, I titled the lesson of boasting of ourselves through the eyes of Paul. Boasting of ourselves through the eyes of Paul. And as you begin to see what I will be doing this evening, you will take note, or you might notice, that I'm doing a play on words, especially when it comes to the eyes. So let's begin to look at the eyes of Paul to show how you and I can boast of ourselves. That would be acceptable in the sight of God and accomplish the very thing that is expressed in these verses. Sometimes when it comes to the expression, we kind of shy away from truly how to speak of God in relationship to ourselves. And so we shy away from saying anything about the power and might of God working in our lives. Let's look at an example. In Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, verses that you and I, we have used for our theme of growing in faithfulness. And in the process of the verses that are expressed there in Romans chapter 1, I want you to notice what Paul says in connection to his relationship with God and especially the gospel itself. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now notice, one of the eyes of Paul is he says that I am not ashamed. There are many of them, or this expression concerning the eyes of Paul in the New Testament. But here is one in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 where he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. I want you to notice what Paul is saying about himself. Notice he's boasting of himself in the passage. But how is he boasting of himself? He's boasting of himself of not being ashamed of what God has done. That is proper boasting of yourself. Talking about what God has done. That you're saying to your friends and your neighbors, your co-workers, your fellow students. If you're on a sports team, the players there that you're playing with, you would be saying of yourself, yes, I am not ashamed of what God has done. Because of who He is and what He possesses. And that's exactly what Paul is doing here. And when we look at this, we learn a principle about how to discuss or point out to people about ourselves in our relationship with God. That we're not ashamed of what God has done. And so we're going to tell you what God has done. I'm going to tell you with boldness of the acts of God. And I want to talk about His power and that I am not ashamed of what He is capable and able to do or what He has done. And then he goes on to talk about, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. I live by that standard. I live by what God has done, what God has revealed in His Word. That directs my life. So I'm not ashamed of it. I do not make apologies for it. It was out of my control because of the one who is in control. And that's God. And that's what you're seeing in these passages of Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And I encourage you later on in your personal studies to look at those kinds of statements that Paul says about himself. Because here's another one, if you will. Turn over with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. Now remember, here is what Paul is doing. He is encouraging Timothy. His hours of living are lessening. And I could imagine, and I would suppose that he is sensing that. Because of the way that he words things throughout the second letter to Timothy. And the encouragement to Timothy is you keep on keeping on, Timothy. Understand, you and I have spent many years working together in the proclamation of the Word of God. And though my life is coming to an end, don't stop serving Him. Really, that's what he's doing. In essence, encouraging Timothy in that way. In other words, Timothy, your life shouldn't be centered around my life. Your life should be centered around God. I want you to notice there in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. And in those verses, the apostle says this. Well, let's begin verse 12. For this reason, he says, I suffer these things, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Did you notice verse 12? Verse 12 is filled with eyes of Paul. He's bragging of himself now. But notice how he's bragging of himself. He's bragging of himself in reference to his knowledge of the one in whom he has entrusted his life. So you see how that works? That's really how it's supposed to work. And that is exactly what Paul is speaking of there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And then you had the others who were putting their trust and their focus in man. Again, as we stated this morning, that's part of the reasons why the Corinthian brethren had trouble. When they used the word I, they were looking at it from a selfish standpoint. I was defrauded. I want to fulfill my desire. You see. Why should I give? Because remember in chapter 16, he deals with the collection. And so a lot of times when our approach to life, our eyes are really selfish eyes. But the way Paul is using this, he is using this as he speaks of himself, but it's in relationship to God. And that's what you're seeing. And it stands out when he says, "For I know in whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." So what Paul is boasting about, I depend on God. I know no other greater power than God. And that's why I give my life to him. And that's what he's encouraging Timothy to continue to retain the standard of sound words. And he talks about which are in Christ Jesus. If we don't recognize it from that viewpoint, then we will end up being swayed by any and everything that comes down the pipe. But if we connect ourselves to God the way that Paul has connected himself in recognizing himself in that relationship, he's able to withstand the pressures. He's able to fight through. And even in the recognition of his life coming to an end, he is able to endure and use those few moments that he has to encourage this young man in following Christ Jesus. That's what he's doing. Encouraging him. And we need to take courage in that. So if you want to boast of yourself in connection to God. Talk about your dependence upon him. Talk about the fact that you recognize his power to save lives. I'm only the vessel. I'm only the messenger. I'm only the servant. But I know of the one who is able to make you stand. Let me tell you about it. And that's what we need to start thinking. And not shy away from it. But to press forward in teaching and become, that's a really aggressive way. A really aggressive, but a confident, bold way. Because it's not about you, it's about God and what he's done to you and with you and for you. You see. And so the glory goes to him and encourages others to see that as well. Let's look at another passage as well. And that is over in 1 Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 16 in particular. As Paul discusses about his former manner of life. Notice how he just puts that verses 12 and following all the way down to verse 16. Again, you see a lot of eyes. In verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me. Notice the boasting of himself. That it is God who strengthened me. I gladly boast about that. The strength that I have, the strength that I am displaying, the strength that I'm impressing upon you, as you see, is not in and of myself. It is Christ Jesus our Lord. And then he says, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent. Now notice, a violent aggressor. And he turned that around to no longer being a violent aggressor, but a truth-telling aggressor. He didn't back down. Wherever he had the opportunity to teach and preach God's word, he was there, wasn't he? That's being aggressive. At every opportunity. Looking, waiting, and watching. Even as he was waiting, when you read the book of Acts, even as he's waiting for his companions and he's going throughout the city, what is he doing? He's making himself available. He's being aggressive. He's looking. He's searching. And then all of a sudden he comes upon this woman that has this divination of spirit. And it agitated him. And then he moves forward. It's all like he pounces with truth as this woman is exercised of that. Exorcist, there it is. Exorcised out of the demon out of her. Yeah, that's an aggressor. A truth-telling aggressor here. Not a violent one as he used to be. He was looking for every opportunity to talk about, brag about himself in the relationship with God. What you notice as he goes on, he was a violent aggressor. He says, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. I was shown mercy. He's not ashamed to tell them about this. He was shown mercy. And he says, the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. And he talks about it. It is a trustworthy statement deserving all full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Or as some translations leave off the of all, I am foremost. It's almost as though I needed it more than you, almost. And the other person replies, no, I need it. I needed mercy. And rejoice in the fact that they found it. As he goes on, he says, yet for this reason I found mercy, or I was given mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Again, that is being an aggressor in truth telling. So he's boasting of himself. But it's because of God and what God has done for him. That is what Paul is encouraging brethren to do at Corinth. And that's why God chose the way that and you could see that. You could see God in action so that they would have all the confidence to say, I am not greater than him. And have the attitude that John had. I am unworthy to even untie the shoes. But yet God, through his mercy and love, has allowed us as obedient children to be able to come to his throne of mercy and obtain it. Let's look at another one. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 here is one of, along with the other nuances of the letter. Now, remember how these brethren were being just bombarded by the Judaizers, trying to get them to go back to the law. And even when they were dealing with those of the council, and they were those who were looked upon, especially Peter and the others, But that's not how Paul saw those things. Paul saw those things in reference to Christ. And remember, it was Peter that engaged in this as well. And when those of the circumcision came up, and it was Peter that backed down from dealing with these Gentiles, I want you to notice, again, an aggressor of telling truth. Paul didn't back down. He didn't. He pressed forward. Why was that? Of what he states there in those verses. Number one, 17. He says, "But if while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have become found sin, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be. For if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor." In other words, bringing back and pushing the law over what Christ has done. To rebuild that, yes, he would be a transgressor. He would be going against the grain. He would be going against God. And that's not what he wants to do. For though the law, he says, for through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. Verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. You see those eyes there? He's boasting of himself, but what he's boasting about is what God has done. That's what he's doing here. And the life I'm living by faith in the Son of God. So you Judaizers who are pushing that one has to be circumcised according to the law, Paul says, I'm pushing back with Christ. That's what he was doing. He was pushing back with the truth concerning the gospel. Again, an aggressor of telling truth and was not going to back down in promoting the Son of God. Because the love of God is far greater that he saw. And he wasn't going to back down with it. No, he went forward with it. And even in conflict with his fellow Jewish countrymen, that's Paul. Why? Because of his boasting of himself in connection to the Christ who is superior. And he ends up, as he talks about that relationship, Christ is getting the glory. God is getting the glory in that. And what you see with me being able to stand and promote this, it's because Christ lives in me. And I'm not backing away from the Gentiles. Because this gospel was for you Jews, or we Jews, and it is for the Gentiles as well. And he has all the confidence in it, and he's not turning away from it. And so you get these lessons there, and we're being told about how some backed away, and even how Barnabas was carried away. But yet when you get to chapter 2 and look at that, Paul says, I'm not backing down. The confidence is not in me, it's in Christ Jesus. I've been crucified with him. And so he boasts of what has been done through God. You see, those aspects of the information that's being given, and you start noticing this. I don't know if I probably taught the lesson. I felt like I have. I was thinking about doing a lesson on Touched by the Master's Hand. And it's interesting, when you start to see all of those kinds of connections, why information is given to us in certain order, or in certain books. And then you start to really start to peel away at all the other, and you start to see, oh, okay, that's why we're told about that incident with Peter and Barnabas being carried away, and many who were carried away with this thinking of one had to be circumcised according to the law of Moses, allowing those things to take precedent over the power of the gospel. And then you come to passages like, I see why. I see why. And it gets, you should give us fuel to press forward and not to be afraid to become a truth aggressor, telling the truth concerning God and what He's done and what He is doing and what He will do. It's right here for us to proclaim. Let's do one more and then we'll end our thought for this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, again, the letter there. Like I said, there are many other passages which talks about Paul's eyes. But here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, again, I thank God. Before he had thanked Christ, here or afterwards, he talks about thanking the Christ. But in verse 3, I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. I wonder which are the forefathers he's referring to. I believe those forefathers, the father of faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David. Yeah. Those spiritual giants, Elijah. Men who risked their lives in service to God because of their belief in the one who had sent them out, strengthening them and causing them to stand firm in the midst of uncertainty for a lot of them. Abraham going to a land that he wasn't familiar with, leaving his family. Yeah. Elijah dealing with the prophets of Baal, and then becoming discouraged, but yet strengthened by God to move forward and continue to do the work of service in proclaiming truth. Elisha as well. And you go through on Jeremiah, the suffering that he faced as he went and told them about the coming doom of the Babylonian Empire. A lot of people not liking to hear that. And then ultimately Jesus, who came and confronted the Pharisees, the Sadducees, with all of their teachings, how they had gotten far away from God, and he was going to bring them back and remind them of his Heavenly Father, of who he is, what he's done, what he's promised, and it's being fulfilled in their sight as they listen, as they see it happen. May we have that kind of courage to recognize the God we serve, that we give him thanks. We boast of ourselves, but in him. Bow with me in a word of prayer, if you will, please. Our gracious Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, to have the confidence to talk about ourselves in what you have done with us, and the courage that we have to promote what you will do and what you are doing with the truth, that it may continue to move forward in conquering the territories of hearts that are searching, and some who are not even aware that they need you. but then making it aware to them that they too will turn to you before it's everlasting too late. Help us as your people to recognize that, and no matter how few we are, but that we will have courage in your might and power, that with you we are more than enough, we are more than conquerors because of you. Forgive us of our doubts, but help us, Lord, in our belief, our faith, that it will grow stronger and stronger. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to put on Christ before it's everlasting too late. We proclaim this message because it is the message by which you can be saved. It is not through us, but it is through Him who died for you because He had no sin. And when He died and was raised from the dead, He now sits on the throne, rule as the King. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. So we encourage you to take advantage of the opportunity and obey Him before it's too late. Put your faith in Him, repent of your sins, confess Him as Lord, be buried with Him in baptism, where you're raised up out of the water to walk in newness of life, a child of God, united on your way to heaven as you continue to follow Him as He leads us in victory. So if we can assist you in your obedience to Christ, we encourage you to come and make it known as we stand and sing the song that was indicated.